As was announced, the scripture reading will be from Numbers chapter 20, verses 10 and 11. Numbers 20, verses 10 and 11. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank.
Good to be with you again this evening. I meant to say something this morning and actually put in the assignments on the communication table, but we need to start thinking about our men's training class that is coming up very quickly. And for the men, we started last year. Someone had the good idea, and my mind has slipped now. I can't remember who it was, but someone had the good idea of putting the assignments out ahead of time, which was a very good idea. It worked out well last year. So by Wednesday, I'll have that assignment sheet up on the communication table. And those of you men who want to participate in the men's training class, you should be looking for that and go ahead and sign up. We can get things rolling with regard to that. But we take the men's training class very seriously. The elders over the years have done a great job pushing and promoting that and being consistent with it, and it has served Brown Street well. And so that is, again, coming up very quickly in November, of course. So let's be thinking about that. We want all the men, of course, to participate in that. Even if you are not participating publicly, you can come and make comments and encourage the men that do. And so let's, again, start getting our mindset along those lines right now. Sometimes details get a bad name, especially in the religious world. There are people who ignore details. They think if you emphasize details, then somehow or another we're being legalistic and that sort of thing. And, of course, you even have the saying that says the devil is in the details. And that is really, in some ways, a knock on details. That sets forth the idea that whatever endeavor that you are about to do, that it's probably going to be more difficult, take more time than you think. The devil is in the details. The problem is in details that might be hidden or might be obscure, and you don't realize always what you're getting yourself into. But actually, I don't know if you knew that, but that is a saying, the devil is in the details. That is a saying that originally, it really came from a different saying, that God is in the details. And of course, originally that saying with regard to that wasn't in any way a knock on details. In fact, originally the idea that God is in the details emphasized the importance of details. And indeed, when it comes down to God, we serve a God who is very detailed. He loves details. He makes sure when it comes down to how we worship Him and how we serve Him, He is a God of detail. If you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, we're all familiar, of course, with the story of the flood and God commanding Noah to build the ark. And right away, we see with regard to that how detailed God is. Genesis chapter 6, and at verse 14, he says to Noah, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. And set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with the lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of the waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Now you can see, very detailed, isn't it? That's the kind of God that we serve. And there are times when God gives us instructions and we don't have a whole lot of detail. He gives us a lot of choices and leaves some things up to us. And so we have what we call generic authority to do certain things. But we should realize that that is really the exception. Like, the rule is that when God gives us commands, He gives us details. He wants us to do things exactly the way He spells it out for us. He is a God of detail. And there's a lot of folks in the religious world, once again, who are in a mess spiritually. They may not even realize it, but they're in a mess spiritually because they ignore the details. And that displeases God. For just a little while tonight, I'm not going to take too much of your time. I know that we had a long week, a great week, but a long week last week. So I'll try not to take too much of your time. But I want to emphasize the fact that God is a God of detail. But not only that, that He demands that we follow those details. It's not like He's a God of detail and then He turns around and says, but if you don't follow my word precisely, if you don't meet the details, then that's okay. I won't be mad at you. That's not the kind of God we serve. God is God. He is all powerful. He is the supreme being. And He does have sovereign. And so when He gives details, He expects, He demands that we follow those details. And there's four or five passages that make that abundantly clear. And they're familiar passages, so let's just take a few minutes looking at them. The first one is in Genesis chapter 4 and has to do with Cain and Abel. And we see what happens when we don't follow God. And Cain, the story of Cain and Abel, it says at verse 1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portion of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and to his offering, but for Cain and his offering He had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Now, what we clearly see in this passage is that God expects to be followed. Now, in this particular passage, it may not be as vivid as some of the other ones because we don't have the exact commands that God set forth. But most of you are familiar with Hebrews chapter 4, where the Bible tells us by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And most of us realize Romans 10 at verse 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so if Abel offered a sacrifice by faith, that means he heard the word of God. And clearly we would all conclude that God didn't just communicate to Abel and leave poor Cain all by himself. No, He communicated to both of them. And Abel did exactly what God told him to do because he was a man of faith. Cain decided to ignore the details and to do his own thing. And so God rejected him. But it is a vivid example of God demanding that we follow the details. Whatever those details were with regard to Cain, Cain didn't get the job done. And so God refused to accept his sacrifice. Keep in mind, as I recently pointed out on a different lesson with regard to worship, that Cain wasn't trying to worship some false god. He was worshiping Yahweh. He was worshiping the God of heaven, but God would not accept his worship, his sacrifice or offering because he didn't follow the details. Doesn't that teach us something? I think all of us, even in churches of Christ, we have to continue to remind ourselves of this reality. there's a lot of people in denominational churches who just don't understand the importance of that. In fact, there's some who flat out reject the notion that we have to follow details. Many people think that all we have to do is have faith, and faith is enough. And if we have faith, then nothing else really matters. We can ignore the details and be okay, just believe in Jesus. But there are others who maybe will not take that kind of extreme view, but they don't realize that they're involved in all kind of things in which they are violating the details of God's word. But then there's us. And we are striving in churches of Christ. We have always emphasized and preached on Bible authority, having book, chapter, and verse for everything that we do, having commands and examples and inferences for everything that we do. And the more conservative we are, the more we talk about that and preach about that and teach that. But I think sometimes over the years we soften up with that and we begin somehow to convince ourselves we don't have to keep the details. But we do. These passages of Scripture remind us of that. The second one is in the reading that we heard with regard to Moses. You remember in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, turn back over there. In Numbers chapter 20 and at verse 1, it says, "And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed at Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'We would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink.' Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of the meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the staff and assemble the congregation.'" Notice details there. "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, and you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water, and you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord, as he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron commanded the assembly together, or gathered rather, the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And so we see Moses getting a little emotional here. He's angry at the people. They have this history of complaint. This is not the first time even that they complained about being thirsty. And so here they are murmuring again. They're stiff-necked people. Moses is upset about that. And so he calls them rebels. You rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." Details. Now, when we stop and read this, we have read this many times before, and we often point it out. Most people would read this and feel bad for Moses. After all, Moses was the meekest man on earth, you remember. Moses was a faithful servant of God. He was a prophet of God. And this was one mistake that he made. And as a result, he never set foot into the promised land. Because of this little detail, he hit the rock instead of just speaking to the rock, so he couldn't go into the promised land. And then we even remember the history of Israel. As I said a moment ago, they had complained about being thirsty before, and Moses had to bring them water. God did, through Moses, bring water from a rock. But you remember back there in Exodus chapter 17, I believe it is, on that occasion, God told Moses to hit the rock. So from a human standpoint, we could think within ourselves where Moses was just doing what God told him to do before. And so he swerved just a little bit from this one detail of speaking to the rock. He hit the rock instead, or along with. But God is a God of details. And so he missed the promised land because he didn't follow the details when it came down to this commandment. Doesn't that teach us we, even today, we have to follow the details? In fact, when we turn over in the same book, you turn over a few chapters to Numbers chapter 25. Exodus, I believe it is. See if I can find the passage. Exodus chapter 25, where with regard to the tabernacle, and not just the tabernacle, but even all the furniture of the tabernacle and all of that. We'll look at something along those lines in just a minute. But here, just the instructions of the tabernacle and the furnishing of the tabernacle. If you read, we don't have time to read this, but in Exodus chapter 25, you see the instructions with regard to the contributions for the sanctuary. My heading says, you turn over a little bit down at about verse 10, and he begins to give them instructions about the Ark of the Covenant. Then later on in the chapter gives them detailed instruction about the table for the bread, and then the golden lampstand, and then the tabernacle itself when we get into chapter 26. And you read through all of that, and there's precise details all along. But look at chapter 25, and at chapter 25, and at verse 9, it says, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all of its furniture, so you shall make it. Listen, here's God saying, Moses, exactly as I show you. Like, he didn't have options with regard to this. He couldn't change the pattern. He couldn't decide to make something bigger or smaller, or out of different material, or whatever the case is, or change the coloring. God gave details with regard to all of that. And then he says, do it exactly. Do it exactly. In fact, turn to the end of that chapter in Exodus chapter 25. And at verse 40, it says, and see that you make them after the pattern for them which is being shown you on the mountain. That's the passage that the Hebrews writer quotes in Hebrews 8, at verse 5. Do all things according to the pattern. That's saying, do all things according to the details that I give you. Do it exactly like I show you. Why do we think today anything is different? In fact, in Hebrews chapter 8 that I just referenced, the very purpose of the Hebrew writer bringing this situation up is to show us that in this dispensation, nothing has changed. In fact, he refers to the true tabernacle, and his point is, if they had to follow the pattern with regard to the physical tabernacle, what do you think God demands of the spiritual tabernacle? Exactly the same thing. We have to do all things according to the pattern. The details matter. We know, of course, of yet another example, and we're not elaborating on any of these, but Leviticus chapter 10, the story of Nadab and Abihu, beginning at verse 1, it says, and now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified. Like, God knew that this would touch a nerve in Aaron. And it probably would have any of us. Like, we're talking about his children. His sons have lost their life. And Aaron wasn't happy about it. But God is a God of details. We can't just take our own way and do anything we want to, even when it comes down to worshiping God. We can't do it any way we want to. We have to do precisely what he says. No more and no less. And these passages remind us of that clearly. Let's understand God is in the details. The details are important to God. They may not be to man, but they most definitely are to God. Another passage, and again, we don't have time to elaborate on any of these things, but over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, how could we ever forget going back to the Ark of the Covenant and the situation that transpired there? 2 Samuel chapter 6, and at verse 1, it says, David again gathered all of the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose, and he went with all of the people who were with him from Baali, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of the Covenant, which is called by name the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it. Why? For the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error. And he died there before the Ark of God. Now, you might wonder, what error? He died there before the Lord because of his error. Well, when you go back to Numbers chapter 4, I think it is verse 15 right in there. I believe it is verse 15. That's the place where God told them, if you touch not just the Ark of the Covenant, but any of the sacred furniture, you would die. And God is a God of details. So because he didn't want them ever to touch it, he gave them a design of how it was to be made and the poles that they were to carry on their shoulders from place to place. And what do we read here? They made a new cart. They decided to skip the details. Like, the most important thing is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that's on top of it and the law inside of it and all of that's the most important thing. Does it really matter how we take it or transport it from one place to another? Do we have to follow those details? Like, that thing's heavy. Do we have to carry it on our shoulder? Let's make a new cart. It will be easier to transport one place to another. God probably will be pretty happy about that. No. He wasn't. He's a God of detail. And he expects those details to be followed. On this occasion, they weren't. And again, just from a human standpoint, we read this and we think, did God overreact? Like, Uzzah just did exactly what you or I would do if we were in that situation. He didn't have even a whole lot of time to think about it. He didn't reason it out in his mind. He just, his natural reaction when he saw this sacred piece of furniture, by the way, it was the most sacred piece of furniture. It was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, representing the very presence of God. And so it was the most sacred piece of furniture. And when he saw that about to fall off of this new cart, and he's thinking it's going to be destroyed, he couldn't let that happen. He just naturally stopped it from falling. But the fact of the matter is, if they would have followed the details, he never would have been in that situation. Is it a case where he was at the wrong place at the wrong time? Absolutely. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of Christians that get themselves in trouble because they're at the wrong place at the wrong time. Simply because we don't follow the details that God sets forth in his word. But a very vivid example, God struck him dead on the spot because he's a God of detail. Let's keep in our mind here at Brown Street. Let's have it firmly fixed in our mind. We're going to follow the details. We're not going to go beyond. We're not going to fall short. As I said this morning, we're not going to grow weary of the fight. We're going to do Bible things in Bible ways. We're going to make sure we can put our finger on the passage for everything that we do, have authority for everything we do. And when we begin doing what God tells us to do, whether it's singing, whether it's partaking of the Lord's Supper, whatever it might be, the work of the church when we worship, we're going to follow the details. Because man likes to say the devil's in the details, but no, God is in the detail. Details are important to God, and they should be to us. Let's make sure we follow the pattern. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you have been associated with the religion not doing that. You know, one detail that is left out by many people, sadly, is baptism. That's not a small detail. That's a huge detail, but it is left out by many. As I said earlier, many people think all you have to have is faith. But Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16 at verse 16. Do you want to be a child of God here this morning? You can become a child of God, and God wants you to be one of his children. He loves you and wants to adopt you into his spiritual family. But you have to believe in his son Jesus and be baptized. Why not do that tonight? You're a child of God and you have drifted away. Why not do something about that? Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you, according to John. But don't leave this building not right with God. Do what God commands you to do, down to the details, so that you can be saved. Come forward as we together stand and sing.